All right. Well, good morning, Temple Baptist Church, and so glad that you've joined us for Sunday school this morning. I've got a quick prayer letter. We're trying to read our prayer letter each week, and this is the prayer letter from Josh and Julie Mead, our missionaries in Senegal, West Africa. We had the privilege to be with them a couple years. It's been a little while now. Time gets going, and we were able to build one of their Bible centers. They can't have a church in that country because of the Muslim restrictions, but they write in their prayer letter here this morning to say a lot has happened since our last prayer letter is the understatement of the decade. Our country is taking necessary precautions during this pandemic by enforcing a curfew, restricting travel, and encouraging everyone to stay inside. As of today, there are only approximately 200 confirmed cases in Senegal at this point. This is their April prayer letter, so I'd say that's pretty recent. At this point, we feel safer here than we would probably feel in the U.S. We are mostly staying home and increasing our outreach online for both the members of our church and the country at large. Since many people are staying home, our online viewership has increased, and Pastor Malek Diop is in constant contact with the people across Senegal, asking questions about the Bible. In March, we hosted a team from Arizona and held our second annual Talib soccer tournament. Many of you already viewed the update video on the tournament. It was a great success some of you gave toward this project. We're happy to say that the cost of the tournament is covered for the next 2 years. God has been at work in the hearts and lives of people here. In the past couple of months, we've seen 4 people put their faith in Jesus Christ. Once we are able to meet as a church family, we will hold a special baptism service for those that have recently been saved. And, you know, this is a country that's like 99.something% Muslim. So hearing of these 4 that have been saved here during this coronavirus time, that's a great blessing. I know their hearts are greatly encouraged. And then here's a prayer request. Pray for Pastor Malek Diop. He leads our church during this pandemic. Also pray that he will have wisdom and grace to respond to the many people contacting us throughout Senegal on social media. While most have sincere questions, some can be condescending and mean-spirited in their attack on Malek. Pray he will continue to boldly declare the gospel with courage and the people's hearts will be open. So this pastor that they're training, let's keep him in our prayers and pray the Lord will continue to do some great things in spite of this storm that is taking place. Well, turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 passages. They're parallel passages here in the gospel, and I think we get to see some details in one passage, maybe that we don't get to see in the other passage, but Matthew chapter 14, the other passage is Mark chapter 6. Matthew chapter 14 and Mark chapter number 6. While you're turning there, I hope you had a great week this week. And boy, I'm just encouraged to see that some places are opening up. I can't wait till Virginia opens up. And to try to keep myself occupied, we've been going over to our property where our house is getting built. And I've got a little project that I've been doing. And yesterday was just a beautiful day. I hope you were able to get outside a little bit yesterday and get some sun in and enjoy the outdoors a little bit. But I've got a little picnic area that I've been building. Pastors influence me. I feel like I've always got to be doing something. And so I've gone over there and been working on building that. You say, well, why a picnic area? You can't have anybody over. I know. I got to be doing something. And, you know, maybe it's the theory that if you build it, they will come. I don't know. But after this whole thing's done, we'll have some people over there. I say that. If I invite people from the church, the whole church might show up. But anyhow, I know. I want to get outside. And Lord willing, the day's coming soon where we're going to see this auditorium filled back up. And I can't wait. I'm praying for that day. And just want to encourage you, be faithful and keep on praying. The Lord is at work. Pastor gave a praise this past week about a man who got saved, came early in the morning. And I won't give details about that in case he wants to share. I don't want to steal any of his thunder. But I do want to talk this morning and maybe the next time that I get a chance to teach Sunday school about storms. And really, you know, it's what we've been going through is a storm. And hopefully this storm has turned our attention to God like never before. And I'm praying that it'll turn not just us as Christians, our attention to God. I'm praying it'll turn our country's attention to God. That our families, our churches, but also this country would turn back to God. And I believe that doors are being opened during this time, during this storm, that maybe would not have normally been opened. you know, Paul talked about having an effectual door and pray for that. Well, I think the Lord's giving us some great opportunities to take advantage of during this time. And I think it's because of Isaiah 59:1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Hey, listen, the Lord wants to save people. And maybe it takes people being quarantined in their houses, and maybe they get bored and they get online and they listen to some preaching. They hear some teaching. They hear the word of God. Maybe they hear a testimony on social media of somebody else getting saved. Maybe their life is shaken to a point where they look to God. So God is doing some great things. You know, recently on Fridays, I've had the privilege of doing a live stream preaching. We have a new member in our church, a new guy in our church family, and they've been before the coronavirus. They just started coming. Their child was coming to Awana, and he asked me if I would preach to a group of persecuted Christians. And I asked him. I said, "Well, where are they?" And he said, "Well, they're in Pakistan. They're in India. They're in the UAE, United Arab Emirates." I said, "Well, wow. Sure, I'd love to." And so the last couple of Fridays, we've been able to have some services online for them. And, you know, getting the gospel in countries that aren't open and encouraging Christians that, you know, are forced to sort of be underground. And I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged at the open doors and what the Lord is doing. And, you know, maybe as a church, you know, having to learn technology a little bit more to use it as a tool, that's probably been a good thing for us. I know we've been trying to ask the Lord's wisdom with that. And consequently, you know, people that perhaps would never come through the doors of a church, through the doors of a church building, have been getting on the website and watching. And it's been neat to see the different numbers, you know, of those watching on sermon audio or on Facebook Live. I want you to understand that even though you might get bored at home in the quarantine, hey, God is doing something exciting. And even though you might not be able to go to work, hey, I'm here to tell you this morning, God is still at work. And I want to be a part of that work. And I want us to read Matthew chapter 14, our first passage that we're going to be looking at. And you know, in verse 24, we see that the disciples found themselves in a storm. Now, it must have been some sort of storm because these guys were fishermen, a lot of them. They were used to storms. And yet this storm was giving them quite the problem. And I want to read in Matthew chapter 14, and we'll start in verses 27 through 32. We'll see more than that as we study this morning, but just as a starting text, Matthew chapter 14, verses 27 through 32, the Bible says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately," I love that, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. You know, like Peter, we have a tendency to focus on the storm instead of focusing on the God of the storm. We have a tendency to focus on the problems that are associated with the storm rather than focusing on the master of the storm. But whenever you find yourself in a storm in life, hey, you must look to Jesus, the master of the storm. And that's the title of the lesson this morning, The Master of the Storm. And I want to do a verse-by-verse study through this passage, or these passages, I should say, of Matthew and Mark. And we're going to look at each verse. And I want us to learn something about Jesus. Each one of these verses, I want to look at the master of the storm and be reminded of his power and what he's trying to accomplish through this trial that we're all going through. And so the first point that we see this morning, we're going to see in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14. Let's look, go back a little bit there in the passage and look at verse 22. And we see his providence in the storm. Look at verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. You know what we see in this verse? We see that Jesus actually sent his disciples into the storm. Now, this was no surprise to Jesus. Jesus knew that there was a storm coming. And while they were on the side of that lake, the skies might have been blue. The disciples might have thought, this is a beautiful day. And it's going to be great sailing, but Jesus knew there was a storm that was going to be coming. In fact, Jesus allowed this storm to happen in his providence, in his control in their lives, and his work in their lives. He allowed this storm to interact with their lives. Hey, folks, the storm that we're going through has not surprised Jesus. I think it surprised a lot of us, right? I don't know anybody, January 1, 2020, could say that this was the coronavirus thing was going to occur like it's occurred. And you know, it's caught a lot of politicians on both sides off guard. I think you hear a lot of statements that people have made that they probably wish they hadn't made, just because they couldn't see the future, they couldn't see what was coming, and I don't totally blame them for that. But you know what? This is not a surprise to Jesus. He knew exactly what was going to be happening in March, in February, in April of 2020. He's not surprised by our storms. You know, in Job 1, we see that God allowed Satan to tempt Job. Now, God is never the source of temptation when it comes to evil. I do think he tests us. He tests our faith in him. He tests our trust in him. He tests our obedience to him. He tests us in those ways. He's the source of those kind of tests. But he's never a source of testing that has to do with temptation to do something that's wrong. We see he tested Abraham with his son, whether he would trust God in offering his son up there on the altar. And throughout the scripture, sure, we see God testing various people. Well, a storm for many of us is a test. And in Job 1, we see that God did allow Satan to tempt Job. God was going to strengthen Job through this. And so he allowed Job to go through this test. He also wanted to prove to Satan that Job was faithful to him. And boy, I want to be part of that proof that I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. And I hope you are too, that you want to be faithful to the Lord through the storm so that the Lord can be praised and lifted up. But in Job 23:10, we see Job's faith in God's providence. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. He knows all about it. He knows about the storm. He's saying, and when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Look, we have to have that kind of faith to say, when this storm gets done, God is working in my life to make me a better Christian as a result of it. He's working all things together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. And we have to believe it. We have to trust in God's providence. And we have to trust and know that God knows what he's doing. And furthermore, we need to trust that what he is doing is good for us. It may not look like it in the midst of the storm, but through the eyes of faith, we can see the good that God is trying to accomplish in our lives. In hindsight, we'll praise him and give him glory, as we'll see in this passage, for all that he's done. You know, Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I love this verse. Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You see, God has something planned for you at the end of this storm, an expected end, as it says there in Jeremiah. You know what? We just need to be patient. We need to trust. We need to let patience have its perfect work in us, don't we? And let God accomplish the good thing that he has planned in our lives. I tell you what, let's get out of the way and let's let the master of the storm accomplish what he wants to accomplish through the storm. So we've seen his providence in the storm. But notice in verse 23, we see the next point. We see his prayer for us in the storm. Matthew 14, 23, notice the text. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. Now I tell you, this is a great example for us, isn't it? If Jesus Christ thought it was important for him to get alone with his Father, boy, how important is it for us to get alone with our Father? And I hope that this time of being home, the extra time you've had of being at home, I know it's been busy in other ways, and I've heard some people say, well, it's actually been busier for me. I'm not exactly sure how busy you are, but But I do think there's probably been some extra time for us to be able to get in our closet, to get away, and to spend some time with the Lord, just like Jesus did here with his Father. But you know what? There's a great encouraging point in this. You see, I believe that Jesus prays for us in the midst of the storm. You say, well, Brennan, we don't have recorded here what his prayer was. I don't see that here in Matthew. I don't see it over in Mark. And you're right. The words of his prayer are not recorded here. But we do see the things that Jesus prayed for throughout Scripture. And let me tell you some of those things, what they are. In Hebrews 7:25, the Bible says, wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is making intercession on our behalf. He's going to the Father for us. You know, sometimes when you're in the middle of a storm, things are so crazy and the wind is howling and the waves are crashing and our mind isn't always there. Have you ever been in a problem and you just couldn't even think, let alone really gather the words, the right words to pray, and maybe you're trying to pray and you're fumbling through those words? Hey, it's okay. Let me tell you something. Jesus is praying exactly what you need for you. He's interceding on your behalf. I don't have to go to pastor necessarily. It's great to have other people pray for us, but isn't it great to know Jesus is praying his perfect will on our behalf? And we can go to him. John 17 and verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, Jesus is talking, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He says, not just for these that he's talking about in this passage, but for all those that are going to believe. I pray for them. Hey, Jesus is praying for you today in the midst of the storm. What a great encouragement. In Luke 22, verses 31 through 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And by the way, the Bible says that Satan's like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, let me tell you, Satan's busy in the storm too. And he's looking who he can get to go shipwreck. He's looking who he can get to turn from the faith and to worry and to fear and to say and to question God and say, God, why are you letting this happen in my life? But you know what? We read there, Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Hey, Jesus is praying to strengthen you. And notice why he wants to strengthen you, because he wants you to go on and be an encouragement to the other brothers and sisters that are going through things. He sends us into a storm sometimes so that we can experience that storm, because later on he's going to have us encourage someone else who's going through that same storm. And boy, how true has that been in my life? Whether it's been the things that we've gone through with Josiah and the kidney, or whether it's been the brain tumor that I've had, or other storms. And you've had this. Whatever storm it might be, you've had the experience. Maybe a child lost in pregnancy. Maybe an accident that you've experienced. Maybe going through a certain health situation. And at the time, you wonder, why am I going through this? And the Lord brought you through that situation. And then you ran into somebody else who was going through the same thing. And it was all clear at that point. Oh, now I understand, Lord, part of the reason why you were having me go through that storm, you wanted me to encourage someone else who was going through that storm. Yeah, and you know what? Jesus is praying for you. He's praying that you'll do what he wants you to do through this storm and encourage others in the midst of their storm as well. Not only does he pray for us in the storm, but he wants us to increase our prayer life in the storm. And I got to tell you, the virus has definitely worked on my prayer life. I'm sure it has you as well. You know, whether it's praying for people that have been to be saved. And boy, I've seen an uptick in people getting saved. You know, I've had the privilege of reading through the prayer letters. And there definitely is an uptick of seeing people saved. We talked about the four that were saved in Senegal this morning. Eric and Holly, we'll probably read their prayer letter next Sunday, shared with me about some folks that were saved there. And it's just been amazing to see how the Lord is saving souls through this storm. And I trust that you're looking for opportunities to give the gospel, that you're asking God to give you spiritual eyes to see those open doors and those opportunities. But praying for people that have been to get saved, praying for people to get jobs. And, you know, there's been several testimonies in our church of people that have been trying to get a job because of this situation, and the Lord has come through and provided. Maybe it's just because you've lost your job, praying for provision through this. And we've been praying for each one of you in our church on behalf of the trials that you're going through, that the Lord would provide the things that you need. Praying for God's protection, of course. And I thank God, I don't know of anybody, at least that I know of, that has gotten sick in our church as a result of the coronavirus. And we pray the Lord will continue to protect us. But, you know, praying for healing. There are some folks that I do know that have gotten it. We prayed for Pastor Kenny Baldwin, and the Lord brought him through that. Continue to pray for him. There's some lingering effects, and I heard that he was struggling with this past week, and we need to continue to pray for him. I've got other friends that were in college on Facebook that I noticed have gotten the virus, and a good friend of mine recently got on there and gave the testimony that they had gone back to get tested, and the virus was gone. And so he's healed from the virus. And that's been exciting. We've seen some exciting answers to prayer. This past week, Caleb Osborne, we were praying for him. This is a relative of the Gardeners. And some of you will remember Melissa Osborne that taught here at our school. Her brother was in a horrible motorcycle crash and was lifted up by a helicopter to the hospital. And we were scared about his condition, and we prayed. And the next day, we heard he's discharged from the ICU and didn't have any internal injuries. That's the Lord working. That's the Lord answering prayer in the midst of this. John Stryker's nephew was in an accident, and they were worried he was unresponsive. And so we lifted him up in prayer, and he's doing much better today. And we praise the Lord for that. Hey, listen, the Lord is praying for us in the storm, and the Lord wants to increase your prayer life through the storm as well. Notice number three, we've seen his prayer for us in the storm. Let's see something else about the master. And I want to turn now, hold your finger here in Matthew chapter 24. Now we're going to look at this parallel passage of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 48. And Mark chapter 6 and verse 48, this is the same incident being written about through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost from Mark's viewpoint here. And Mark chapter 6 and verse 48, notice the first part of this verse. I love this simple truth, but profound and important truth, and it's this. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Well, the Bible doesn't say how far they'd gotten out onto the lake there. Jesus had gone up into a mountain. He'd spent time in prayer. And about the fourth watch of the night, the Bible says they were there toiling in the sea. I happen to think probably they were at a distance that our normal eyes wouldn't be able to see. I don't have any proof for that. But I know this. It doesn't matter how far we are, where we are, how far we are from other people. The Lord Jesus can always see us in the midst of our storm. Boy, I'm so thankful. Jesus sees me in my storm. You know, he sees us even though we may not be able to see him. If you've ever been in a real storm, sometimes it's hard to see. You know, you're driving down the road and all of a sudden that torrential rain comes and you put your wipers on and, you know, you're trying to see. You put your hazard lights on and you start going slower and you're seeing all the other hazard lights pop up and, you know, water's splashing up because of the flash flood that's taking place and the wind's blowing and visibility is cut down. Hey, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ's visibility is never cut down in the midst of a storm. He sees perfectly what's going on in your life, even though we can't see him and even though we can't see what's going on very well around us. You know, in Matthew 10 and verse 29, we read that God sees when a sparrow falls to the ground. This past week, I got, you know, I don't know if it's just this time going outside, maybe not being as busy and just maybe taking notice of things that I wouldn't normally take notice of. And this past week, I saw a black, it's a red-winged blackbird. At first, I thought it was an oriole because it sort of had orangish red, but beautiful bird, I noticed. And Bobby and Nina Stewart, they are bird watchers. And if you have any questions about birds, they're very good at it, and they enjoy that. And I've had some fun conversations with him. I texted him a picture of some of these birds over to him, and he was actually able to help me to identify it quickly, what kind of bird it was. But you know, that bird, the beauty of that bird caught my attention. Then I saw some bluebirds out on our property, just this bright blue color. It caught my attention, the brilliant, beautiful color. You know, yesterday we were out on the property and my daughter pointed out this massive, I think it had to have been a hawk, The wingspan was, it must have been like 7 feet. It was gigantic. And it was flying. It swooped down near us, and we were just in awe at how big this bird was. I got to see a bald eagle this past week when I was driving out to the property. It was sitting up on a tree and just looked so majestic. But you know what I didn't notice this week? I didn't notice a sparrow. You know, it's not the type of bird that you would really notice, right? You notice these other birds because of the colors they got, but you know, I didn't really notice the sparrow. Hey, listen, in the midst of a storm, God notices when a sparrow falls. And so he goes on to say, how much more does he notice what's going on in our life? Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows, he says. Hey, God sees you in the midst of your storm. You're not alone. You're not without direction. You may not be able to see what's going on. You may not be able to see him, but he sees you. So we've seen the master's perception in the storm. Notice in verse 48, our next point, we see his presence in the storm. Matthew 6 in verse 48, the second part of the verse says this, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. We'll talk about that in a second. And of course, the parallel passage of Matthew chapter 14 is verses 24 and 25 there. We won't take the time to look at those verses. It's pretty much identical to what we read here in Mark 6. But Jesus comes to us in the storm. Not only does he see us, but Jesus is with us in the storm. Hey, can I remind you, in the midst of this quarantine, you might feel lonely. I have at times. You might feel discouraged. You might feel distanced from other people. But Jesus is with you in this storm. And I want to encourage you to enjoy his presence. You know, the Bible says, at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There's no reason for us to get discouraged. I know it's easy to do that when we feel alone. But when we recognize God's presence in our life, God says there are pleasures forevermore in his presence. Hey, let me encourage you during this time to recognize God's presence in your life. He is with you in the midst of the storm. You might say that the children of Israel passed through some storms of their own, whether it was passing through the Red Sea or passing through the wilderness after that for 40 years. They probably had some sandstorms that they went through. I'm sure there were some times in the wilderness when they probably felt like God had forsaken them. But notice what we read. You don't have to turn there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'd like to read verses 1 through 4. It gives a commentary on them. And it says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Paul says, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, talking about that Red Sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, talking about the manna, quail that God provided for them. He also provided manna, of course. And then verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock. You remember the rock that Moses struck and the water came forth and they were able to drink from it. They had found other water they couldn't drink. It was not drinkable. And then the Lord provided this rock. But listen to this. This is so cool. I love this point. For they drank of that spiritual rock. Don't miss this. The rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Hey, this is great. Listen, here they are going through the wilderness. They're traveling around. They think nobody else but them are there. But you know who else is there? Jesus Christ is there. That rock followed them around in the wilderness and continually provided their needs, continually gave them that water for their thirsty bodies. You know what? Jesus Christ is also that water for us, for our thirsty souls. In John chapter 3, he offered that water to a woman who was sitting at a well, a Samaritan woman. And he said, if you drink the water that I have for you, you'll never thirst again. If you're watching this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I understand that your life feels empty. I understand that there is a thirsting there. And God puts a God-shaped vacuum in our heart that only he can fill. And the peace and the joy, he wants to give that to you. But it only comes through the salvation that he offers in Jesus Christ. It comes through that living water that he is. Have you ever put your faith in him? Your trust in him and what he did on the cross for your sins, repenting of your sins and asking him to come in your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Listen, you can do that today. And you can have your soul satisfied from the living water of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is with us in the storm. He was that rock that followed them. That is so cool. In the desert. Some of the times when I've sensed God's presence in my life most strongly are times when I've passed through storms in my life. Some of the times when his presence has been most real to me when I was going through a real storm. And I remember in college, I was freshman year, I was homesick. Anybody that knows me as a teenager knows I was a mama's boy. And boy, I missed mama. I missed mama's cooking. I missed fellowship with my parents and went off to college. And like I'm sure a lot of college students go through, I went through a bit of homesickness and felt lonely. And I just remember I got my Bible and I sat down out in front of the library there at school. I'll never forget opening my Bible and reading there in Psalm 139. You know, if I ascend into the mountain, thou art there. If I go down into the depths of the sea, thou art there. If I take wings upon the morning, and thou art there. And you know, it's like the Lord just sat down next to me and said, hey, it's okay. I'm here. I'm with you. Today, the Lord is with you in this storm. We've seen the Master's presence. Notice next, we see his power in the storm. The third part of the verse, Mark chapter 6 and verse 48. Well, let's read the whole verse to be reminded of the context. And he saw them toiling and rowing. Remember that phrase there. He saw them. There, here they were. The wind was blowing. It says, for the wind was contrary, and they're trying to row to get to the other side, and they're doing their best, but the wind's blowing, and I just imagine they're just sitting there in place. You know, you ever felt like that in life? You're doing everything you can in your own strength, and you're just not going anywhere. Maybe you're even going backwards, you know. Here they were in the storm, doing everything they could do, but it wasn't working. It says, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. And don't miss this. This point really hit me yesterday. And would have passed by them. Why did it say that? Why did the Holy Spirit, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, why did Mark write here that he would have passed by them? Get this point. Here they are, they're toiling, they're rowing, they're doing everything they can to get to the other side, and they're not going anywhere. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus doing one of the simplest things that anybody can do, and that is to walk. He's just walking. You know, we were talking yesterday as a family, and we, you know, I know Brother Jeremy was sharing with me, so they were looking at old videos. We were doing a little bit of that as well, and our kids started asking about, you know, how old was I when I spoke my first word, and how old was I when I walked, you know? And you think about walking. I mean, some kids will be walking before they're one, a couple months before they're one. Sometimes maybe it's a little later than that. But it is one of the first things that we learn to do in this life. And boy, once you get that walking down, I mean, once a kid starts walking, those that are parents know, you get ready. Start chasing, because it starts off with walking, then it goes to running. And you're running all over the place after them, you know. But walking, you know, I'm doing it right now, and I can tell you, I'm not thinking about it at all. It comes. It's that easy. It's that natural. It's that easier thing for us to do. So here the disciples were doing something that was most hard for them. It was impossible for them. And here's Jesus demonstrating that what's impossible for them is so easy. And he was just going to walk right by them. Wow. That's the power of our Lord. And what is impossible for us is nothing for him to accomplish. But why storms? Well, you know, storms, I think, have a way of making a clear contrast. Contrasting our inability with his ability. Contrasting our weakness with his strength. And contrasting our helplessness with his helpfulness. Notice the important contrast that was mentioned there. We go back in Mark chapter 6 and verse 48. It says, he would have passed by them. And then look at verse 49, Mark 6, and verse 49. But when he saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. Hey, you know the master of the storm? He has control over the storm. That's how powerful he is. Now, I've seen some pretty powerful storms. I think I shared with the congregation before one time I was preaching about when we went on a cruise and a hurricane was chasing us. I don't know why I have these things happen in my life. I'm just sort of prone to experiencing these storms. But anyhow, this hurricane was chasing us. And I mean, the waves were amazing. They were incredible. And the ship, this massive ship, you know, these cruise ships are huge. And we were in the very front of it, which was bad for two reasons. One, you get the rocking from front to back. And two, you get the rocking from side to side. And my wife and I were just downing Dramamine, you know, the motion sickness pills, just to survive this thing. And I got to tell you, it was something else. I can't imagine being in a small ship like what the disciples were going through here. And yet we see it was nothing for the Lord. And he got in the ship and the wind ceased and the water stopped raging. Why? Because you know what? We're looking this morning at the master of the storm. And he has power in this storm that none of us can even imagine. Hey, listen, folks, Jesus has got this. The wind didn't affect him. The waves didn't affect him. He's not affected by what goes on down here. I love this passage of scripture, Psalm 11, 3 through 4. The foundations be destroyed. Boy, you know, you think of some horrible event taking place on this earth, that the foundations be destroyed, a hurricane or an earthquake or a pandemic or whatever it might be. What can the righteous do? I love the next verse. The Lord is in his holy temple. Hey, you know what that shows me? God is above the storm. He's not affected by the storm. He's in his holy temple. What can we do? What we can do is look to the one who's above the storm. Look to the one who's in control of the storm. Look to the one who has the power over the storm. So this morning we've seen the master's power in the storm. And the last point we'll see this morning, and then we'll continue on in our next time that I'm with you in Sunday school. We see in Matthew chapter 14, verses 27 through 28, we see his proclamation in the storm. Matthew 14, 27 through 28. Go back there if you would to our other parallel passage, and we see, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, and don't miss this, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Hey, you know something else we see here in this passage? Jesus speaks to us through the storm. He speaks to us in the midst of the storm. And no matter how loud the storm may be raging, Jesus, that still small voice, is able to pierce through into our hearts. The word of God is able to divide asunder the joints and marrow. It gets right in there. Yeah, in the midst of the storm, and God is able to speak to us. You know, the thing we ought to run to when we get into a storm, we ought to run to his word. And I trust that you've been spending more time in the Bible in this storm to hear what God is trying to say to you. If his word is like a lamp into our feet and a light into our path, then there's never a more critical need for his direction. There's never a more critical time for his illumination in our life than right now. And all that comes through opening up the scripture and listening to what Jesus has to say to you in this storm. And I understand if you're watching this morning, that's your desire. You've come here to Sunday school this morning to hear the word of God and to hear what God has to say. And you've come to church today for that. Hey, listen, let's do more of it. Notice two important things concerning his word in the storm. Following his word. What did he say to them in their storm? Notice the three things that he actually said. I think we see, first of all, we need to have the proper spirit in the storm. He said, be of good cheer. I don't know why it is. Well, I do. It's because we get sort of miserable and ornery. But, you know, we get in the midst of the storm. And sometimes as Christians, we can get down and we can get discouraged. And we can be sort of, you know, frowny face about what's going on. Hey, that's not what the Lord wants in a storm. He says, be of good cheer. Listen, when everybody else is down and has their heads down in the midst of the storm, let me tell you, the one that's going to stand out is the one that's got the joy of the Lord shining in their life. And this is an opportunity for us as Christians not to go around with our heads down, but to go around with our heads looking up to Jesus and telling others about what he's doing in our life and showing the joy of Jesus Christ in our life. Be of good cheer, he says, and then he says, it is I. And I think here we see not just having the proper spirit, but having the proper focus. Sometimes we get distracted when we go through a storm, but God wants us to keep our eyes in the storm. Peter was walking along. He was doing great. He was only, no one else had walked on water when it comes to the disciples. And he was doing something that Jesus was doing. This was amazing what was going on. But what happened? He got his eyes off of Jesus, onto the wind and onto the waves, and he began to sink. And listen, every time we get our eyes off Jesus, we're going to sink. Now, I'm thankful when we start to sink, we can cry out and say, Lord, help. And I love the fact that we don't have time to talk about this. Jesus was immediately there, stretched his hand out and grabbed him. You know, we have to have the proper focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus in this storm, and then we have to have the proper trust. And he says there, be not afraid. And sometimes we can get panicky in a storm. Oftentimes we get panicky in a storm, but don't panic. Put your trust in the Lord. I'm just being honest with you this morning. I'm in the middle of building a house, and, you know, financially it's sort of extending ourselves some. And we had made all these decisions before the coronavirus came up. We'd already gotten our loan. We'd already signed a contract with the builder. You know, in my own understanding, I would have shut all that off if I knew the coronavirus was coming. And I would have stayed in our apartment and had our money safely in our bank. And, you know, but I've just had to trust the Lord. And I got to be honest with you. At first, I was a little bit afraid. You know, what if I lose my job, or what if my wife loses her job? I'm sure thoughts that have gone through your mind. I'm not a super Christian. I'm not a superhero. I'm like you are, and you know, fear can pop up in my heart. But you know, the Lord has come to my heart in this storm and said, "Don't be afraid. You need to have the proper faith in me in the midst of this storm." And then I see a familiarity with this word, not just following his word, but a familiarity. Peter recognized his voice, and consequently, Peter would be the one who walked on the water. And you know, the best way to be prepared for storms is when you familiarize yourself with the word of God before you even get in the storm. And I know we're going through this storm of the coronavirus, and Lord willing, it's coming to an end. But I do have some news for you. There will be some other storms in life. And I hope it's been a lesson for us to be better prepared in our country for something that comes up like this. I hope it's been a lesson for us as Christians to be better prepared spiritually in the midst of a storm. Today we've seen the Master's power. We've seen the Master's proclamation, the Word of God. We've seen his providence. He's in control. We've seen he prays for us. He's interceding for you. We've seen his perception. He sees you. Even when you can't see him, we've seen his presence. He's with you in the midst of the storm. Today, can I encourage you, stop getting distracted by the storm. And let's spend some time looking and focusing on the master of the storm. Thank you so much for being here with us in Sunday school. We're looking forward to the service, and we'll be back here at 10 o'clock. God bless. Bye-bye.